While the Occupy Wall Street movement's emergence in New York City and around the country last fall focused attention and debate on the nation's growing income inequality over recent decades, a new report by the Federal Reserve reveals stark evidence of the damage caused by the economic meltdown. The Federal Reserve report found that from 2007 to 2010, the median net worth of American families dropped by 39%, bringing household wealth down to levels last seen in 1992. The dramatic decline in family wealth wiped out almost 20 years of accumulated savings and investments. As calculated by the Fed, an American family's median wealth decreased from $126,000 in 2007 to just $77,300 in 2010. The Federal Reserve found that middle-class families had suffered the largest losses in accumulated wealth and income during the three-year period ending in 2010. But the report revealed that poor families were also extremely hard hit, with a widening wealth gap between whites and blacks and Hispanics. The Fed attributed three-quarters of the loss in wealth to the crash of the nation's housing market, triggering a steep decline in the value of homes across most of the nation. The report's findings explain why many families across America are hesitant to spend their decreasing pool of money on small and large purchases, contributing to the sluggish economic recovery. Your reporter spoke with William K. Black, Associate Professor of Economics and Law at the University of Missouri, who served as the Deputy Staff Director of the National Commission which investigated the cause of the savings and loan bank failures of the 1980s and 90s. Here, Black examines the causes of the dramatic decline in American family wealth during the nation's Great Recession.
It's a median figure, so that means half is above and half is below. It's not an average or mean figure. And so in many ways, it understates the change. In other words, the average change could well be worse, but the average change you'd have to separate out, because really two things were happening. One is that normal Americans were losing, and losing enormously, but the top, in particular, 0.1% was gaining at a rate we have never seen before in this nation. So it was largely a redistribution of wealth from poorer people to the absolute richest people in America. And then there was also just plain a lot of destruction of wealth through fraud and such, again, led by our elites.
Professor Black, we can look at numbers on a piece of paper and a report like this from the Federal Reserve, but it really doesn't tell us about the real-world implications of how this set of numbers affects people and their ability to fulfill their potential in our society. You want to say a bit about how this affects people day-to-day?
Yeah, it has had a devastating effect in a lot of different areas. So this is happening at the same time as you have a tremendous assault on public services, particularly in the state and local governments. That utterly gratuitous series of crises, because the revenue-sharing portion of the stimulus bill was killed by a combination of conservative Democrats and Republicans. So there's been a long-term pullback in public support for universities, for example, and now this has made it far, far worse. So if you're, again, sort of a standard middle-class household and you're trying to get your kids into university, it means that it's going to cost you dramatically more, that they'll come out in debt, then they'll stay in debt for 10 years, and that they won't have a number of the programs that they wanted to take. So that's the situation for people in that bracket. For if you go farther down the bracket, there's been an enormous increase in people forced into needing food stamps and such. So this is not just poor people, but this is working class people in America, where we have exceptional percentages of people now on food stamps. Now, part of what's going on is the so-called welfare reform under Clinton and such, and that means that there are a lot of very people who are in the marketplace who are just hanging on by their fingernails, right? They're forced to work even if they have relatively young kids, and if they don't have health insurance, then they're always simply one illness, and not necessarily an illness for them. It can be a serious illness for one of the kids, away from being forced back into actual poverty, with the removal of most of the safety net for them until the point where they actually lose everything, at which point, you know, we will put them in a housing shelter type of thing, and we will give them emergency room care somewhat, sort of, kind of.
How do you view a set of solutions here to confront rising income inequality? Some point to a total revision of the tax code that's necessary to stop the redistribution of wealth from the poor to the wealthy. But are there other mechanisms that would be effective at reversing this trend?
Mostly what we need to do is to go back to the things that work really well and made the United States the envy of the world. So the things that work really well are, for example, having the GI Bill. And the GI Bill allowed, originally, pretty much all males, but it was supplemented by other programs. And essentially, anybody that was very bright would be able to go to university, get their degree, and come out of school without being under crippling debt. And they could then make all kinds of wonderful advances. And that was good for the world, good for the United States, good for those people. And naturally, we decided that we should largely gut that. But I agree, you have to act on the tax code. The tax code is not only a huge part of the problem, but by the way, the Republican House just announced last week that they were going to withhold a substantial amount of funding from the IRS that would be aimed at tax evasion by the wealthiest corporations. Now, when you do this, you create what we call in economics and criminology aggressions dynamic. So the companies that cheat and avoid taxes get a huge competitive advantage over honest firms. And we now have one of the major parties actually in favor of that mechanism. They want mechanisms that continuously drive taxes for corporations and the wealthy lower and lower. They love tax havens. We have the first major candidate, I think ever, who had major accounts abroad in tax havens and will not tell the American people about them. It's just extraordinary developments in America.
That was William K. Black, Associate Professor of Economics and Law at the University of Missouri, and author of The Best Way to Rob a Bank is to Own One. For more information on the loss of family net worth and economic inequality, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.